because there was nobody around to hang drywall, I hung a bunch of drywall and taped it. Now, I didn't use all the fancy equipment. You know, they have these bazookas and all this fancy-dancy stuff. I did it all by hand. And I got to where I could do a halfway decent job. I wasn't good, but I wasn't bad. The trick is not putting too much mud on the wall, because if you put too much mud, you have to take it off before you can paint it, or it looks like a rank amateur did it. And when I was working on the Indian Reserve in Manitoba, I was remodeling my house, and I built a second 4-inch wall on the inside of my house because it was so cold, and re-drywalled the house. And one of the local building contractors came over to see me one day, and he said, "I hear you know how to do drywall." I said, "Well, I've done a little." And he said, "Let me see what you're doing." And I showed him what I was doing. He said, "You want to hang some drywall on the reserve?" Well, it just so happened that I needed to make a little extra money. I went to the mission field, Tim, without enough support. But because I had a landed immigrant status in Canada, I could work. And so I started hanging drywall and taping drywall. And I did a fair bit of it for a couple of years. And I mean, I could have gone and become professional. And I said, finally, I said, he wanted me to hang a lot of drywall for this big building they were building. And I finally drew the line and I said, "Look, I'm really not here to hang drywall. And that's just too much work." But, I mean, I have over the years. For a while, my wife and I drove a school bus to help us pay the bills so that we could serve the Lord. There's nothing wrong in ministry. And I would say this to Daniel, who's about to become my student, or to any men who are thinking about going in the ministry. It may be the case when you go out to serve the Lord that you will have to work part-time or even full-time until the church is able to sustain you. And if you're afraid of work, you need to go and pick another profession. Now, I got a pastor friend that thinks, "Oh, you're a professor, you have your whole summer off." Well, pastors only work one day a week. I mean, that's a tongue-in-cheek. I mean, If you ever try to call your pastor, that guy, he needs a cell phone. If you know, he's got a cell phone with about a 5-inch battery pack on the back of it, because he's on the phone all the time. The guy works all the time. Lee, like, can you give it a rest? In ministry, you work. But sometimes you have to work a secular job to be able to fund doing the Lord's work. And that's what Paul did. And that gave him the occasion to meet Aquila and Priscilla. And I simply would say to men who are headed into the ministry, don't be afraid to work. Now, God has blessed my wife and I with, I mean, I can't believe they pay me at the seminary for what I do. Don't tell them I said this, but I'd be willing to do it for free. I enjoy it so much. Now, I'm glad they do pay me, because it does give me the opportunity to go and teach overseas and things like that. But I enjoy doing what I'm doing so much, I'd do it for free if I had to. I'm blessed and I'm grateful for it. I don't have to go out and hang drywall anymore. It's a good thing, because I'm not sure I want to hoist a 4x8 sheet of drywall and try to screw it to the ceiling anymore. I know there's tools you use to lift the drywall and things like that, but I hate to tell you that drywall is just a lot of work. And if you've never hung it, pray that you never have to. And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. So they were tent makers. And Paul was a tent maker and not afraid to work. And it gives them occasion to meet Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla are a pair of Christian lay people that we know very little about. In fact, what we just read about them is about the extent of what we know. We know they're Jews by background. We know they're from Pontus. We know they're kicked out of Rome. And we know that they're believers. Beyond this, we don't know anything about it. Did they have children? How did they become Christians? When did they die? And some of these questions we simply don't know. But the record in the scripture of what we do know is amazing. Look on down a few verses in Acts chapter 18 and we see a second reference to Aquila and Priscilla. Notice verse 18. And after this, Paul stayed many days and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Now you'll notice a change in their name order. It was Aquila and Priscilla. Now it's Priscilla and Aquila. And if you look at these six passages where they are so referenced, you'll find that their names don't always appear in the same order, nor is her name always Priscilla. Sometimes it's Prisca. And the theory is that sometimes Paul talks about her first in the pair because she was the woman of greater social standing. But they're two faithful servants, and the thing I want you to notice, ladies, is that what she does is as important as what he does. Because it's not Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila, oh yeah, and Priscilla. Aquila, oh, don't forget about Priscilla. But sometimes it's Priscilla and Aquila. So this is a team effort. This is mom and dad, husband and wife, wife and husband serving the Lord together. And there's no particular word order that's important. It's two people serving the Lord together in Christian work, but not vocationally. They're tent makers by profession, but they're faithful in serving the Lord. And so down through history, you could talk about Priscilla and Aquila, or you could talk about Aquila and Priscilla, because they both have an equal share in the ministry that God has given them. So, in Acts chapter 18, we see this second reference to them about what they do. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria with him, Priscilla and Aquila. Now you see that Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila, become traveling companions with Paul. They're not just co-laborers in tent making, but they're now traveling companions. And don't assume by this they started the PAP tent making company, the Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla tent making company, or the Priscilla, Aquila, and Paul tent making company. That's not what we're talking about here. They are interested in helping the Apostle Paul, because from this point forward, we don't hear about tent making. We hear about gospel ministry and their part in gospel ministry. And this is the wonderful thing about it. We no longer read about their labors together making leather into tents. We read about their labors together in serving the Lord. Again, skip on down to verse 26 to the third reference here in Acts chapter 18. And we could read the bulk of the chapter, and it's about what Paul is doing, but I want you to see how Aquila and Priscilla are woven into the story. I'll pick it up in verse 24 because it's the beginning of this section. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus, and he was an eloquent man. Actually, if you step back here, go back to verse 18 and look at verse 19. I noticed this last night, which eluded me in the past. Notice verse 19. And they came to Ephesus. Who's the they? That's Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. They came to Ephesus and he left them there. Who's the them? It's Aquila and Priscilla. So they travel with Paul as far as Ephesus, and then Paul is going to leave, but he leaves them in Ephesus. This is an important part of the story because it sets up now what's going to happen in verse 26. So now let's go to verse 24. So they're in Ephesus. Paul is gone. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus, and he was an eloquent man, competent in the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, notice the word order, she's just as much a part of this as he is, they took him aside and straightened him out. they explain to him the way of God more accurately. You know, it's a real blessing when Christian lay people know the Word well enough that they can help, especially now. You got Dan Miller in your church. He's a nice guy. But he's going to need some of you older people to help him, kind of keep him on the straight and narrow. Now, I've just gotten to know Dan. He's going to think I'm picking on him. But you just tell him, Jerry, I'm not picking on him. I'm just preaching right now. But the reality is you have younger guys that are working with Lee all the time. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to help an otherwise zealous young Christian if they stray a little bit. And there's a lot of wisdom sitting down here in this wheelchair and sitting next to him. Counselors, I mean, their testimony is a remarkable testimony of God's grace. And if they have something to say, they should say it. And we younger ones, I'm still younger than you, Jerry, we younger ones ought to listen to it. And there's virtue when Christian lay people, and that goes for you too, Dave. You're getting long in the tooth too, buddy. Now, you married Susan about 30 years younger than you, but that goes for all of us. We need to listen to those mature Christian saints who can help us walk our pathway better. And God has gifted Christian lay people in the Scriptures. And here are Aquila and Priscilla. They're not busting his chops just because they don't like the sermon. But they see something in his preaching that needs to be amended. And they take him alongside graciously and say, "Now, Apollos, let's just think about this for a minute." And they help this brother in the ministry. Man, do we need Christian lay people who know the Word well enough that can do that. Dan Miller and these young guys that are coming to Central Seminary need older saints who care enough about them, who will shepherd them to be good pastors. You don't become like Lee Armiston overnight. It takes a lot of testing to become like a Lee Armiston. And it's up to you as Christian lay people to help these young guys to become the Christian leaders that they ought to be. Aquila and Priscilla served the Lord in that way because they knew the Scriptures. Well, that's the end of the story of Aquila and Priscilla in the record of Acts. So now we go to these three texts in Paul's writing where he talks about Aquila and Priscilla, and we learn something more about them. Now, if this were the end of the story, we'd have a lot to commend them for. They're Christian lay people who love the work of the Lord, and they serve with Paul. But we see more about them. So let's look in these other three passages that are found in Paul's literature about Aquila and Priscilla. And we're going to find in Romans 16 and verse 3 as the first of these references, that not only were they committed to Paul's missionary work, but they went so far as to start churches and facilitate churches in their homes. Notice what Paul says. This is Paul's letter to the church at Rome, and he's greeting a bunch of people, and I'll pick it up in verse 1. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Crentia, that you may welcome her in the Lord in the way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever way she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well." Now you consider the company that Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned in. They first mention Phoebe, this wonderful saint with this great testimony. "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers." They have gone now from being tent makers together with Paul to fellow workers with Paul. They are fellow laborers. They're in Paul's entourage. My fellow workers in Christ, who, notice how much they partnered with Paul, who risked their necks for my life. They laid their life on the line for the Apostle Paul. They've gone from being acquaintances making tents to being potential casualties for the gospel when they laid their life on the line. No wonder the Scriptures record for us the testimony of Aquila and Priscilla. who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but to all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Aquila and Priscilla, though they may be tent makers by profession, are house church leaders. Now, let me say something about the house church. In the early days of the New Testament, Christians met first in the temple. But when Jesus and his followers were driven out of the temple, they would meet in synagogues. Synagogues were Jewish houses of worship, but they didn't offer sacrifices. The sacrificial system wasn't, you could only offer the sacrifices at the temple, but you could read the scriptures, you could pray, you could go through some of the Jewish rituals in the synagogues. And so when Paul started his missionary labors, the first place Paul went to was to the synagogues in these various cities. And sometimes he got a reception, but more often than not, he got run out of the synagogues and in some cases driven out with stones. So now you have these growing bodies of believers with no formal place to meet. They didn't build churches early on. They would meet in some wealthy patron's home. Our brother was talking about having dinner over at somebody's house today. I mean, the New Testament Christians have been doing that for like 2,000 years. Gathering in homes, having fellowship together, eating common meals together, encouraging one another. This was a part of the modus operandi of the early church in these house churches. And Aquila and Priscilla became facilitators, not just of one house church. But look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So he says, greet the church that is in their house. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we come to the fifth reference. And we find another reference to yet another house church. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going from memory here, and I hope my memory is okay here. Yes, verse 19. And the churches of Asia send you greeting. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church that is in their house. Now, where was the church in Romans? Well, it must have been at Rome. Because he's greeting Aquila and Priscilla at Rome. Now he's greeting Aquila and Priscilla at Corinth. They went with Paul, set up shop, began making tents, and starting churches in their homes, at least at Rome and at Corinth, and possibly at Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla were house church Christian leaders. By the way, Lord willing, on Friday of this week, I will be with Rob Clark down in Naples, Florida, talking about the Chinese church and his China Vision program. And right now, about the only way you can, about the Chinese can reach out and worship is in house churches. Because the government will not let Christians build buildings. I'm glad for the house church movement. Now, it's not a substitute for what we're doing this morning. And it's okay that we're doing what we're doing. Some Christians think that you should only have house churches and not meet together. You know the reason buildings were built? Because it's convenient. It's just hard to get more than 25 or 30 people together in anybody's house. Now, maybe you're living in a mansion. But it's hard to get, 50, 75, 100, 200 people together in one house. And so you meet in multiple houses. And back before, you could take public transportation around town in Ephesus, you had people living in various parts of the city and they had house churches because it was an inconvenience. Today, if you want to go to church up in Monticello, you can get in your car and 40 minutes later, you're at church in Monticello. They didn't do that in the New Testament. They went to church where they could walk to, and they didn't ride a mule or a horse or a cow. They got as far as they could walk to. Now, I've been to places in Romania where people will walk 6 and 7 miles to church. 6 and 7 miles to church. Like, that's walking. That's like walking from here to Fourth Baptist to go to church on Sunday and then walking home. Okay, can I see a show of hands of everybody that wants to walk to Fourth Baptist next Sunday to church? That's what Okay, I'll meet you there next Sunday, young fella. I mean, the reality is we don't do that. We want churches in our neighborhood. Today, we're upwardly mobile. We can get in the car and do that. But they couldn't do that in these times. So they started these smaller house churches to minister to people. And Aquila and Priscilla are right in the middle of it. And what do you think they're doing? They're not just making coffee and crumpets and buying the donuts. They're disciple making and they're leading. You can, because we saw what they were doing with Apollos. You think they're just sitting around shooting the breeze? Talking about the sports event. Hey, did you see the gladiator take the head off of that other guy this week? You know, you think they're just making time, having a conversation about the sports? No, they're disciple-making. They're encouraging younger Christians. They're building the body of Christ. So here Aquila and Priscilla go from being tent makers to Paul to fellow laborers to house church leaders. Let's go to the last verse that mentions Aquila and Priscilla in the New Testament. And that verse is found in Paul's final epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, this is the text where we read about Demas forsaking Paul. And if all we had to deal with were that sad, tragic event, verse 10, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. This would be a sad chapter, but I want you to look down a few more verses in this chapter and see the record of Aquila and Priscilla. Verse 19. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come to me before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Prudence and Linus and Claudius and all the brothers. The Lord be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be to you. These are the last words of the Apostle Paul. The very last words. The very last words. And who does he commend at the end of his ministry? Priscilla and Aquila. In a day when men like Demas were forsaking him, Aquila and Priscilla were by his side right to the end. I thank God for faithful laymen and lay women who serve the Lord until the end. Now, I appreciate the Himes being here when they have a good reason not to come to church. We could give him a pass and say, well, it's hard for him to come to church, but I appreciate his dedication being in church today. I appreciate that, Jerry. That's a blessing. We have an older gentleman and his wife, Betty and Dewey Russell at Fourth Baptist. I love that old guy. He's 86, 87. You know, he's like the ever ready bunny. He just keeps on ticking. But bless God, if he has to crawl to church, he's going to be at church. You know, as a pastor, I'm telling you, when senior saints remain faithful at that kind of end of ministry thing, that's always a blessing to pastors. Here was Aquila and Priscilla. Paul's ministry was over. His life was potentially forfeit. But here's Aquila and Priscilla, right by his side to the very end. Is it any wonder that God commends, by way of the scripture testimony, the life of Aquila and Priscilla? Did he preach a sermon? Not that I know of. Did he start a great church? I'm not aware of it. Did he? He was just he and she. They. And you never hear well, Aquila did this, and where's Priscilla? It's always. In fact, it's often Priscilla and Aquila. So that the reputation of the couple was not as, well, Aquila did this and Aquila did that, and oh yeah, let's don't forget about Priscilla. She made the coffee. It was Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila and Priscilla, serving the Lord together. Faithful companions of Paul, and their testimony is a part of the Word of God for as long as His Word shall stand. I remind you of Romans 15 and verse 4. The things that are written for our instruction. You want a good example of a Christian couple committed to Christ? Aquila and Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila. Godly Christian leaders. You won't see their name on a billboard. You won't read about them in a paper. But God, through His Word, has left us an eternal record of their faithful service to Christ. God, give us more Priscillas and Aquilas for the cause of Christ and the sake of His name. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the opportunity to fellowship together with the good folks at Family Baptist. Lord, there are a number of people here that have been faithful for many, many years. Lord, how I thank You for their faithfulness. And if I were to start naming them, Lord, I would leave somebody out, and that would never be my intention. Lord, I'm grateful for the men and women that You raise up in our churches, that without them, pastors can't do their job. Lord, we need Aquilas and Priscillas to labor with pastors for the work of the ministry. There's simply too much ministry to be done without good, faithful men and women who will serve the Lord and be faithful. Thank You for the testimony of Aquila and Priscilla. May it encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen.